Our sermon today picks up the story that we heard John read earlier from Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 33. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Lord Jesus, come to us this day, walking into the storms of our lives, letting us know you are here to save us when we begin to sink. Pardon my grammar, but them disciples were some daring dudes. At a single invitation from Jesus, "Come, follow me," they dropped what they were doing to become his disciples. It took a lot of daring to do something like that. They risked ridicule. They left loved ones behind, all because they were fascinated by the aura that surrounded Jesus, an aura of authority tinged with deep compassion, firmness, and faith. The disciples watched what Jesus did with awe, sometimes understanding his power came from God above, and sometimes being pretty clueless about who Jesus was and why he had come. Quite often, Jesus told them they would be able to do powerful deeds just as he did, daring deeds such as giving sight to the blind, healing lepers, helping other people, teaching them. The disciples didn't take Jesus up on his challenge, his dare to be something more than they currently were, but at least here, one of them did take Jesus' dare. Who else but Peter would pop up in the middle of a storm to call out, "If that truly is you, Lord, command me, dare me to come out to you." Actually, the word "if" here is better translated "since." So Peter was in essence saying, "Oh, it's you, Lord. We thought you were a ghost. But since it's you, and since you're always saying we can do the same deeds of power that you do, let me come and walk on the water with you. If you dare me, Lord, I'll take that challenge." Peter wouldn't go out on the water without an invitation and assurance. He and the other disciples had accepted other invitations and other dares from Jesus, and things had turned out fine. What could possibly go wrong this time? Jesus said, "I dare you, Peter," and Peter jumped overboard. I wonder what it was like to walk on the water. Did the waves solidify under their feet? Did the waves freeze in place so Peter and Jesus walked up one crest and down the other? Did a whole path of solid water open up between Peter and Jesus? Maybe this is a foreboding of the vision of the sea of glass John saw around God's throne in the book of Revelation. Whatever it was like, it was most certainly cool, something I'd like to do. Did Peter just jump out of the boat and land on his feet right on the lake, surprised that he didn't sink? Or did the other disciples lower him down, willing to wait and see what happened to him? "Yeah, you go first, Pete, so we can see that it's okay, and then we'll follow you." Peter the impetuous always spoke up first and always stepped out first. His initial step out of the boat was tentative. Is it really safe? Is it really solid? He slid one foot forward. He couldn't explain it, but the sea was solid. "Hey, this is awesome. I am walking on the water just like Jesus, just like Jesus." Peter would have been fine if he had kept that singular thought in his head, "Just like Jesus, just like Jesus. There he is, right in front of me. I'm almost there. We'll waltz on the water together. We'll walk all the way to the far shore, me and Jesus." But then Peter took his eyes off Jesus. Maybe he wanted to gauge how far they had come or how far they had to go. Maybe he wanted to look back at his compatriots watching from the safety of the boat and wave to them and say, "Hey, come on out, the water's fine." But what he saw instead was just how impossible what he was doing was. He started looking around, comparing, not daring, no longer seeing the one who could calm the storm, no longer seeing the one who made the impossible possible. Wah! The wind was howling and the waves were crashing all around and above them. It was dark. He was soaking wet. What was he thinking? Ordinary people like him couldn't walk on water. As soon as that thought crept into his head, pushing aside his mantra of just like Jesus, just like Jesus, Peter began to sink. He dared to dare the impossible at first, but then he realized he was a mere mortal, and mortals can't walk on water. The solid foundation under his feet gave way, and he began to go down. He was going to drown. Ah! Quickly enough, his eyes reverted back to Jesus, and at once he called to him, knowing only Jesus could rescue him from his dire straits. Lord, save me, he cried out. His inner thought, I can't do this, drowned out Jesus' reassuring call, you can do this. Did Jesus hesitate a moment, let Peter panic a little, teach him a little lesson before he reached down and rescued him? Jesus was always and ever ready to rescue anyone sinking, anyone whose heart gave out on them, anyone who let doubt drown their faith. Peter was a fisherman and he knew how to fish, but he just couldn't seem to remember how to swim just then. Another time when he was on a boat on a lake, Peter would see Jesus again, this time standing on the shore, and he would dive right into the water to swim to him. But this time, he needed Jesus to pull him up out of the wild waves. Did Jesus laugh gently at Peter as he put out his hand and brought him back to his side? Oh, you of little faith, Jesus said. You were doing fine, Peter. You were walking on water, weren't you? Until you realized you couldn't. Together, they walked back across the waves, and Jesus helped Peter back into the boat and got in himself, and the wind stilled and the waves calmed down. All the others in the boat, the disciples and the crew of sailors both, worshiped Jesus, the Almighty One who rules the wind and the waves. They recognized his ability to command nature and to do what seemed impossible. They made it safely to the other shore. Jesus had come to them just when they needed him most. Just like you know he always does. And Peter, huddled in a blanket on the deck, humiliated by his failure, regretting his foolishness, thinking he could walk on water. But was it really foolishness? Was walking on the water any more foolish than tossing aside his fishing gear and nets and following Jesus into a life of wandering and wondering? Of course, the main point in this story is that Peter would have been just fine and he would have gone further across the lake if he'd only kept his eyes on Jesus. Instead of focusing on the storm, he should have kept his focus on Jesus. He had dared Jesus to dare him, and he dared to take Jesus' dare. He should have known it would all be all right. He should have known Jesus wouldn't ask him to do something challenging without giving him the strength to accomplish his goal. He had already accepted Jesus' dare to make a difference in the lives of other people. What was different about this dare? Only that it happened on a lake instead of on dry land. The premise was the same either way. Trust in Jesus to get you through. Trust that Jesus cares when he dares. Trust that Jesus will pull you up when you begin to sink. He wasn't going to let Peter drown. He wanted Peter to come out on the water and have this new, invigorating, impossible experience. It would position him to do even greater things later. For the rest of his life, Peter would remember, Jesus dared me to walk on the water, and I did it. Through Jesus, I did the impossible. Through Jesus, I can do the impossible. Sometimes we badmouth Peter for not staying faithful, and we almost smirk as he begins to sink. Sir, you're right, Peter, not trusting Jesus. But at least he dared. He got out of the boat at least. Dare we? Why not? If Jesus is right there, right before us, inviting us and daring us to come to him and reassuring us that we can do whatever we dare when we are in his care. There was indeed a lesson here for Peter to learn. Jesus doesn't dare haphazardly or lightly. Jesus knows just how much we can dare, just how much we can do. If Jesus dares you, don't you think he'll make sure you come through? Don't you think he dares you to do what you may think is impossible, just so he can laugh at you and mock at you when you start to sink? Of course, that's not the kind of Savior Jesus is. In all our trials and troubles, at the onset of impossibilities or improbabilities, the one who comes to you just when you need him most, the one who calls to you, come unto me, is certainly not going to abandon you or turn his back on you or let you sink down and drown. Jesus wants you to take that daring step out of your comfortable, though battered boat. Jesus wouldn't have said come if he didn't think Peter could do it. If he didn't want Peter to do it, he would have said straight up, "This is not possible for you." Instead, he invited him to try. Jesus wants you to try, and Jesus wants you to succeed. All he asks is that you don't look around at the wild circumstances, that you don't listen to the wind howling at you. You can't do that. All he asks is that you don't succumb to the tentacles of the sea pulling you down and the waves bashing at you, trying to knock you over. All he asks is that you keep your eyes on him and see what you and he can do together, even the impossible, if you dare. Let us pray. God, when we see Jesus walking on the water, when we hear him call to us, come, let us brave the wind and the waves and go out to him. Let us take his endearing dare to show us just how much we can do with him, relying on his love to keep us from sinking. In the chaos of our lives, send Jesus to calm the storms. Help us to know we can indeed do the impossible through his presence and power. Amen.
Wings of a snow white dove, he sends us pure sweet love, a sign from above on the wings of a dove. When troubles surround us, when evils come, the body grows weak and the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us, and he sends his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above on the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, he searched for land in various ways, and troubles he had some, but he wasn't forgotten. He sent him his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above on the wings of a dove. When Jesus went down to the river that day, and he was baptized in the usual way, and when it was done, God blessed his son, and he sent him his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a dove.